Hey, so Proverbs, if you haven't been around, Proverbs is a 3,000-year-old book of collection of wise sayings that Solomon collected and some others collected. Lemuel, we know he was one of them, but there's some others we don't know. You might, if you have your Bibles, you might turn to Proverbs chapter 7, or if you have a device, because we're going to be in one portion of Scriptures today, and you might want to follow along. So Proverbs 7, if you got a device, an iPad, a phone, whatever, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. And so Solomon collected all these wise sayings. He collected 3,000 of them, the scriptures say. He wrote them, collected them, many of them. And we only have about 800 of these wise sayings. They're not promises. Okay, sometimes what people do is reading the Proverbs, they don't understand. They take them as promises. They're not promises. They're wise sayings about how life typically works. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that the sayings of the wise, or wise sayings that have been collected, they're like cattle prods. That's the words he used. They're like a cattle prod. So they're supposed to get your attention, make you think, and hopefully spur you on to some action is what they're supposed to do. So again, Proverbs chapter 7, and what I'm going to do is read it from the scriptures, and then I'm going to read it in the way that I rewrote it. Okay, and then we'll tear it apart. So that's what we're doing today. So Proverbs chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as reminder and write them deep within your heart. Okay. It says, love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let wisdom and insight protect you from the affair with an immoral woman. And listen to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. Okay? So, and what we're going to talk about today is temptation. Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. It goes on, verse 6. While I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some young, naive men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as darkness fell. The woman approached him and seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was brash and rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and the markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look, she said, I've just made peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets and the colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until the morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing that it would cost him his life. So keep it open. Keep your scriptures open. So what I've redone is I've rewritten this, and I've replaced the references. You'll see how it works. But I've replaced the references to the immoral woman with just temptation. Just the idea of temptation. And then we'll talk about that in just a minute. So here's how it goes as I rewrote it. So follow along if you have your scriptures open. It says, while I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw a young naive man and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of temptation, strolling down the path by its house. It was twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell, and temptation approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. Temptation was brash and rebellious type, never content to stay at home. Temptation is often in the street and the markets, soliciting at every corner. Temptation threw its arms around him and kissed him with a brazen look and said, you're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. Come, let us drink of the love till morning. Let us enjoy each other's caress. So temptation seduced him with its pretty speech and enticed him with its flattery. He followed temptation at once like an ox going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in the trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. So, did you see how I rewrote it, put temptation there? Okay, let's do a little brainstorm here for just a minute, only because I didn't have time to prepare, so I'm going to have you help me today, okay? Not the case, okay? So let's just do this. So shout out something that is a common temptation to people. Anybody? What's that? Food, okay? Somebody said food. More than one person said food. Okay, we'll talk about food in a minute, okay? Money. Love. Is that the only temptations? Alcohol, okay. What's it? Sex, somebody said sex, okay. What's that? Fame, okay. Income tax reports. Yeah. Television, okay. Television or, and I don't have my phone because it's at the fair in the booth doing the cashing thing, but I was hoping to have my phone with me. But your phone. Okay, just the online stuff. It can't only have to be TV, but online stuff. What else? Possessions, okay. Power, okay. And we could talk about all kinds. I'll point out some other ones in just a minute. So he said this. He said, while I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw a naive young man, one in particular who lacked common sense. He said, I saw some naive young men. Naive is not a word we use all that often today. Just the whole idea of naive. It's not a common word. The first definition of naive is it's marked by unaffected simplicity or the idea that they're just morally simple. Okay? One of the things about temptation is you have got to be aware of what's going on in your life, how temptation works, how the devil works, and how to avoid temptation. Otherwise, we will continually be snared by this thing called temptation. We have to be aware of how the enemy works. Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, this is the only passage outside that we're going to talk about, and you don't need to turn to it. But in 1 Corinthians, so let me start back. Paul started a church in a city, a Roman city called Corinth. And in that church that he started, after he left, some problems arose in that church. There was greed, there was people who were wealthy, who were oppressing the poor. They got together for the communion services, and some people were getting drunk, and the rich people were eating, they did kind of a potluck. They were eating before the poor people got to eat, and so then by the time that came the poor people in line, there wasn't any food to eat. I mean, there was this all the backbiting as to who their leader was, misuse of spiritual gifts. There was all kinds of things going on. And so Paul wrote to them and said, here's what I want you to do about this. We don't have that letter. That would be called 1 Corinthians. We don't have that letter. It's a lost letter. It never endured antiquity. One of the things he wrote about in that letter was to instruct them to correct a situation that was going on, and it had to do with a man who was involved in an intimate relationship with his stepmom. And Paul said, you need to deal with this situation. And that was in his first letter, which we don't have. In his second letter, he wrote to them, and he said, I told you guys to deal with these problems. You got to deal with the fighting over who's in charge and who you're following and all that stuff. You got to deal with the divisions for 1 Corinthians 3. You got to deal with the immorality that's going on. You got to deal with the drunkenness. You got to deal with the misuse of the Lord's Supper. You got to deal with the misuse of the spiritual gifts. So he just kind of, that's kind of the outline of 1 Corinthians 1, which we have. And so they got busy trying to address the things Paul wrote about. And one of the things they addressed was the man who was involved in an intimate relationship with his stepmom. So then he wrote to him 2 Corinthians, and he actually said in 1 Corinthians, this is my paraphrase, he said, you don't want me to come down there and deal with this, okay? So you guys get this taken care of because you don't want me coming down there. And so in 2 Corinthians, he is there. So he's kind of rebuking them or telling them to deal with this. In what we have is 2 Corinthians, which is really 3 Corinthians. Is everybody following that? Okay. What we have is 2 Corinthians. He writes to them and he commends them for the job they've done in trying to sort through all of these problems. And here's one of the things he says. Because they were relatively harsh on the man who had been involved in the situation with his stepmom. And so they were pretty harsh with him. And here's what he said. He said, I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgave this man, that's the man I've been talking about who was involved in this relationship with his stepmom. He said, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for their benefit. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. So he says, I want you to forgive this guy because we don't want the enemy to outsmart us. And because we're not aware, I mean, we're fully aware of how the enemy works. That's part of being naive is not, the idea of naive is not under, that he's writing about, is not understanding how temptation works, not understanding how it works in a person's life, not understanding how the enemy works, and thereby regularly falling into temptation and, you know, giving into temptation. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So, we can't use an excuse that I didn't know more than the first time. Okay? The first time we fall for a temptation, we can say, well, I didn't know. But after you fall into that temptation, the second time, you know. Right? Because you go, okay, I fell for this last time. Here I am falling for it again. Okay, and that would be the idea of naive. Naive would be going, okay, I didn't know. And then the third time, I didn't know. And the fifth time, I didn't know. And the 12th time, I didn't know. No, you knew. You knew, but you still fell into it. So let's go back to the one that's naive and look at, you know, and it says he was lacking in common sense. You know, part of the book of Proverbs is about teaching, and we already saw this, teaching about common sense. And so here's, he was naive. Like, I didn't know. And he was lacking in common sense. And so here's what he did. He was crossing the street near the house of temptation, strolling down the path by its house. It was twilight in the evening as dark, deep darkness fell. Temptation gets us in darkness. Temptation gets us in darkness. When we have to hide something, okay, we don't want them to know. We erase our history. We hide it. You know, we get one of those screens on our iPad so people can't see what we're, yet, you know, kind of thing at work. We hope somehow, oh, can I erase this? You can erase anything you want from your iPad. Google knows everything you've done. It's all there. Apple knows everything you've done. Okay, so you can erase it so somebody else, one of your friends can't see, your parents can't see, your spouse can't see it. It's there. It's there. And if you have to do it in secret, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Okay, everybody with me? I mean, that's just the reality. And then it says, you know, we kind of like, I don't want anyone to know. I don't want anyone to know. So we hide it, we cover it up, whatever it happens to be. That's what this guy did. It was twilight in the evening. And then it says, temptation approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. Temptation always gets dressed up. If temptation didn't get dressed up, we wouldn't fall for it. If it shows us what it really looked like, if it showed us what was the real outcome of it was, we wouldn't fall for it. But we fall for it because it gets all dressed up, all gussied up, you know, and putting the makeup on and all the whole thing. If it didn't put its makeup on and get gussied up, we wouldn't go there. But we, you guys are just all so quiet and like, am I connecting with you? I mean, it just gets all gussied up. I mean, it's like you see the picture of a McDonald's hamburger and you go, oh, that looks so good. I mean, it's juicy and the tomato and the lettuce and, you know, the cheese is hanging off. You go, oh, and you go get one and it's like, wait a second. This is false advertising. Because my McDonald's knows if they get it all gussied up, you'll go buy it. Okay? And temptation does not visit us if it's not wearing perfume. So not only does it get all gussied up, but it gets all perfumed up. Because if we knew what it really smelled like, we'd go, oh, I'm not touching that thing. But we get all perfumed up. It gets all perfumed up. Okay? And then it says, temptation was brash and rebellious type, never content to stay at home. Temptation does not stay in its lane. Temptation gets out of its lane and comes looking for every single one of us. There's not one of us in this room that doesn't have temptation come looking for us. Not one of us. So it will not stay at home. It comes. And then it says, temptation is often in the streets, in the marketplace, soliciting at every corner. Listen to this. Look at this. You know, think about this. I mean, it's just, somebody said TV. You know, this young man said TV, or I could say the phone. I mean, it's all you got to do is kind of do your swipe up on your screen and pull up something. And there's temptation. All is your phone going off, Fred? There it was. Perfect timing, man. His phone's calling and never stays in its lane. Thanks for that, Fred. I paid him to do that. But you with me? I mean, it just doesn't stay in its lane. And it always comes looking. It always is looking for us. It's on soliciting us on every corner. And then it said this, temptation threw its arms around him and kissed him with a brazen look and then said this, you're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you. You're the one. And again, you could, I'm going to put a bunch of different things here in just a minute, but you could put almost anything in there. And it comes looking for you. It just comes looking for you. Calling your name and so on. And it says, come drink, let's, caress each other and so on. So temptation seduced him with pretty speech and enticed with flattery. If commercials told you the truth, a bunch of the stuff you'd never buy. Right? If it told you the truth. But it doesn't tell you the truth because it's got to get all gussied up in order to get you to buy it. If it told you the truth, you wouldn't do it. Because you know the end result would what the end result would be. What temptation does is it plays games with us. I was thinking about this if you've ever had, cats and critters, like mice and rats and stuff around your house, which we've had, and I just fixed, won't go into the whole story. But you got a cat, and the cat catches that mouse, and he's got his paw on it thing, and then he lifts it up, and the mouse starts to move, and he puts his, have you guys watched this before? Puts his paw back on the whole thing, and next thing you know, he's laying on his back, and he's, doing this with the mouse, and then it comes down, puts it in his mouth, and then finally he lets it out, and the mouse is just sitting there, oh, good, I got it, and then it starts to scurry away, and he grabs it again, that's exactly what temptation does with us. Temptation puts its paw on us and holding on to us, and then it starts to go, okay, I won't tempt you this hard this time. And he lets go of it, and temptation, and we, start to run off, and next thing you know, temptation's laying on its back. It's batting us in the air. It's playing with us, got us in his mouth. Lets us go. Everybody, right? I mean, it's just how temptation works. It's how temptation works. Temptation plays with us, and it catches you in, the whole thing that I just described. I got to catch up with my notes. There's a guy named, that I've attributed this statement, if you've been around for any length of time, I've used this over the years, so some of you will be familiar with this. I thought it was attributed to Adrian Rogers, who's, one of the greatest, great preacher from history past, and the voice that Adrian Rogers had. If I could have had his voice, wow, perfect voice. But anyway, Adrian Rogers said this, it's up on your screen. He said, sin will take you farther than you intend to go, keep you longer than you intend to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. What's interesting is I thought it was Adrian Rogers, but I wanted to make sure that it was from Adrian Rogers, and that's what I have in my notes from Dropbox and years past. But I looked it up. If you look it up on the internet, the very first person this is attributed to is a national, world-known preacher who got into trouble because sin took him farther than he wanted to go, kept him longer than he wanted to stay, and cost him so much more than he ever thought he would have to pay for it. So, and that's exactly what happens when we give in to temptation, when we give in to it. Like for this, for instance, gossip will take you further than you intend to go. You start talking to someone about something, and then next thing you know, you've said more than you intended to say. Like, oh, shouldn't have said that. And then it'll keep you longer than you intended to stay. Next thing you know, you're in this long conversation about this thing that's none of your business. You can't do anything about it. You can't help the person. And yet you're talking about it. And then when somebody finds out that you've been gossiping, you lose a friendship over it. Everybody with me? Or how about this? Lust will take you farther. How about greed? Greed will always take you further than you intend to go. It'll cost you more than you intended to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you intended to stay. Or how about anger? Those of you that are prone to anger, those of us, I should say, that are prone to anger, you know, you're just going to get angry just for a moment, just a little bit, just a little bit of anger. And next thing you know, you're way more angry than you ever thought you were going to be angry. And you've been longer than you thought were going to be angry. And you look back and there's shrapnel from your anger outburst in people's lives and your life. Everybody with me? I mean, this is how, and you, again, you could put anything in here. You could put jealousy and bitterness and lying. You could put drink. You could put illicit drugs. You could put prescription drugs. So you got the prescription pills. This is a huge problem in America. You got the prescription pills that was for, you know, backache, a toeache, you got gout, whatever it happens to be. And then next thing you know, you got some other little thing going on. So I'll just take one. Well, that works. So I'll just take another. And next thing you know, 10 weeks later, you're back at the doctor trying to get prescriptions, and because you're now addicted to prescription meds. And here's how the opioid thing goes in America. You're addicted to you're addicted to prescription drugs, and then you can't get any more prescription, so someone says, hey, I got some. And then they sell you, and then you're buying it on the street, and whatever it happens to be, and then the overdoses happen. One of the ladies in our church lost her grandson, her son, this week to an overdose. Because temptation wants to take you towards sin, and when you bite on temptation, when you let temptation grab a hold of you, then what ends up happening is you go further than you intended to go, you stay longer than you intended to stay, and you pay more than you ever thought you would have to pay. Everybody with me? And again, we can put anything in there. Drink, again, like I said, and I don't think this is sin. Okay, I mean, there's some famous pastors and preachers in all through history that have smoked, so I don't think it's a sin to smoke. So I'm not down. I mean, I don't think it's good for you. You should stop smoking if you smoke. Okay, just stop. You got to figure out how to. But every smoker will tell you, I never intended when I smoked my first cigarette to become addicted. My dad was in the military, in the Navy. He was at weather school in New Jersey, and he was having these headaches because he's trying to learn meteorology and so on, and he's having these terrible headaches. So he went to the doctor, the Army doctor, and the Army doctor said, every time you have a break, just go get a cigarette, and it'll help you. And so he started smoking, and right before he died, and it was one of the things I quoted because my dad told me this before I did his memorial, my dad said, that doctor started me on a 50-year habit of smoking. It was not what he intended when he started, but it's an illustration of this whole thing, right? Or brownies. Or my favorite, no-bake cookies. You've seen me put the pictures up before. Just one. But you eat more than you should, you stay around that pan longer than you should, and then it's going to cost you with a stomach ache, and you got to exercise when it's all said and done. Okay, right? That's how this thing works. Don't be, and Adrian Rogers also said this. This is one of his other famous lines. He says, sin fascinates, then it assassinates. It thrills, then it kills. That's what sin does. It fascinates and it assassinates. It thrills and then it kills. So here's how it goes. Don't be naive about how temptation and the devil work. And learn from previous temptations. Learn from previous temptations. You know, there's a lady by the name of Portia Nelson who wrote this poem, and it'll be up on your screen. It's on multiple slides, but she says this, and some of you have heard this before. This was famous in Promise Keepers, those of you that are old enough to remember Promise Keepers movement. This was famous in Promise Keepers. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Second slide. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again, and I can't believe I'm in the same place again. Next one. But it isn't my fault. It takes me a long time to find my way out. Next slide. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault, and I get out immediately. And then she ends it this way. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it, and then I walk down another street. You have to learn from previous temptations. We all have to learn from the way we have fallen to temptation previously. Don't cross the street. Remember what he did? He crossed the street, wandered by temptation's house. You got to figure out, how do I make a change here? And again, Proverbs is given to teach us about common sense. And one of the verses in Proverbs about the purpose is, it says this, it says, Proverbs is for receiving information in prudent behavior. Prudent, the idea of prudent or prudence is not a word, again, that we use a lot today. And part of the word prudence, and part of that is the word prude. So if you're someone who has a different view than most people in our world have, like let's say about sexuality, people will say, oh, he's such a prude. He's such a prude. When someone says he's such a prude or she's such a prude, that is not a bad thing, because prude is part of the word what? Prudence. Everybody with me? Somebody should have said amen or something. Okay, somebody should have said something. One of the lessons would be, don't cross the street near temptation. Don't cross the street near temptation. Don't, you know, if you got a problem with, you know, spending way too much time on social media, you know, I mean, Americans are addicted to social media. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on, you know, this whole thing. You may have to delete it from your phone. Turn off the notification so it doesn't like being, I mean, it's like this all day long, because bing, 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 bing. And it's even down to the place now that Americans have, you know, like the fake buzz in their pocket. You ever had that happen where you got it in your pocket and you feel it vibrate and you go, oh, I guess it wasn't. Phantom vibrating. It's a thing. Look, Google it. There you go. Get your device out and Google it. Let me talk to you about one more temptation. And this is especially seductive in the American culture. I want to talk about one more. Is it okay if I talk about it? Okay, are you sure it's okay if I talk about it? Okay. Here's Jesus' words up on your screen. Beware, guard against every kind of greed, for life is not measured by how much you own. That's what Jesus said. Apostle Paul said it this way, again, be up on your screen. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Next slide. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. One of the Americans' dilemma is, we want to get rich. We want to figure out how to get rich. We got to figure out how to, you know, because the one with the most toys, what? Thanks. One person, thank you for playing with me, Gloria. Yeah. You've heard that statement. One with the most toys win. It's an American temptation. It's an American temptation that every single one of us feel. I mean, just think about, if you're someone who, you know, you're driving in your car and you got the radio turned on, how often a stock market report comes. I remember the guy used to attend our church. He passed away a long time ago. And but I saw him at Red Apple right before, you know, I don't know, a little while before he got sick and passed away. But I saw him at Red Apple. And he was just wringing his hands. He's all, you know, and he said, oh, I lost. It was John Hagelin. Kathy. He's just wringing his hands. Kathy and Leslie knew him. I mean, just wringing his hands. I said, what's the matter, John? He said, oh, I just lost like $40,000 in the stock market. I said, well, you stayed in, didn't you? And he said, oh, no, I sold everything. So at his memorial, his family teased about that he's the guy who, this was his investment strategy, is buy high and sell low. Because people want to make money, so they buy it, and then all like, oh, you know, kind of thing. Well, the dilemma of the background of all of that is this desire for money. This desire just to make, you know, a boatload of money. And some people, you know, they make two boatloads and some people make a whole shipload of money. I'm like, how come I'm not there, you know? And we start to compare. Don't compare against what other people have, what other people make, how other people's, don't compare against everybody else. Because if you compare about everybody with everybody else, you're going to either see yourself as doing better or you're going to see yourself as doing worse. Neither one of them are good. Everybody with me? The temptation, and it says, so let me just rewrite this. The temptation for riches will take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay when you don't rightly report your IRS report. And you're one of those unlucky few that get audited. And next thing you know, the $100 or the $150 or the $15,000 you saved on your IRS audit or your IRS report, you know, taxes, it costs you way more than that when they find out that you gypped them. But that's what happens. Or the temptation for things will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. For things. Jim, and plug your ears for a second, would you guys? Henderson's, plug your ears for a second for me. Would you play with me? Americans, this is true of Americans. And so you know what Americans do? We get storage units. And I said that because these guys have storage units, okay? They part of their living comes from storage units. So I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm not picking on you. But isn't it true? One of the fastest growing businesses in America that people are making money on is storage units. You know why? Because the desire for things takes us further than we thought we would go, keeps us longer than we wanted to go, and not only are we paying for the things we had to buy, now we're paying to store the things we had to buy. Which is mostly junk now, because I asked Jim, I said, Jim, how many times did someone default? Is there anything ever good? And he said, no, there's never anything good in a storage unit when people default on it. So in essence, we're storing stuff that's worth nothing in storage units across America. Because the temptation for things. So what do I do? What do I do? Let me wrap this up. What do I do? Number one, pray. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, what? He said, that I wrote it down this way, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Whatever that temptation happens to be, whether it's greed, whether it's gossip, whether it's jealousy, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, it does not matter what that temptation is. Pray, Lord, keep me from it. Help me stay away from it. Help me to walk down the other side of the road. Help me to find a different street to take. I remember talking to a guy who would regularly, he was a contractor who worked in town, and he would regularly take the same route to work, which would take him by a porno shop. This is long before internet days. Taking by a porno shop, he would stop. He would involve himself in whatever he involved himself in. And I said to him, I said, take a different route on your way to work. There's 1,000 ways to get to work, right? Just avoid that way. Don't walk down the street where temptation is out. Oh, you're the one I was looking for. I'm so glad you're out here. Take a different route. Or Jesus said this in the garden. He said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We know that. Because after we give in, then we go, what was I thinking? See, our spirit's willing, but our flesh is just weak. I can't believe I did that again. Pray. Second idea would be to keep your nose in the book of Proverbs. Keep your nose in it. Here's what Proverbs says. Follow my advice, my son. I read this at the very beginning. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. And then he said this, write them deep within your heart. You can't write Proverbs deep in your heart reading them one time. They get buried deep in your heart. They get inscribed, they get scratched on your heart. They get indelible ink in your heart. They get to the place where they're planted there because you read them, you spend time in them regularly. These wise sayings that are come to teach the innocent to understand, to teach the naive to not be naive, to teach the people without common sense to have common sense, to teach the people that are lacking in prudence to teach them prudence. Righteous living, he said. You got to bury your head. Just bury your head in the book of Proverbs. It's one of the great things is there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. You've heard me say this before. You can read one chapter every day and almost every month. Not all months, but a whole bunch of months have 31 days. Read it. And if you're like, oh, I've missed it for a few days. If it's like, I missed it for 10 days. Just start, read Proverbs chapter 10. Read Proverbs chapter, whatever it happens to be. Read Proverbs. Keep your nose stuck in the book of Proverbs. It will help you overcome temptation. Amen? Let's stand together. Did it. Got her done. Well, Lord, there's not one of us in this room that don't daily fight temptation. Temptation to not be honest. Temptation to not be transparent. Temptation to keep our temper in check. Temptation to keep our mouth shut. Temptation to keep our eyes where our eyes need to be. Temptation sometimes to keep our hands where our hands need to be. And we find ourselves tempted in so many ways, so many situations, so many circumstances. Lord, teach us. We don't want to continue to be naive and say, well, I didn't know. So Lord, we're praying right now, lead us not into temptation. Or keep us from temptation. Keep us from the evil one who wants to kill and steal and destroy. Keep us from the evil one who wants to make us go farther than we intended to go, stay longer than we intended to stay, and cost us so much more than we ever intended to pay. Jesus, you told the disciples, you said to watch. Teach us how to be people who watch, who understand how temptation works in our life. Different than maybe someone else's life. Help us to understand how temptation works. And then, Lord, again, you said to watch and to pray that we don't fall into temptation. Lord, we don't want to fall into that hole in the sidewalk. So teach us to be aware and to go down the other side of the street or to choose another block or another way home or another way to work. Teach us, Jesus. And then, Lord, as we bury our noses in the book of Proverbs and we read it and we chew on these Proverbs and we think about these Proverbs and we reread them and we pray through them, as we do that, Lord, teach us prudence, teach us wisdom, teach us righteous living, teach us how to be people who are not naive and foolish as the Proverbs so often talks about, but we'd be people who get caught up in wise living, making wise decisions, wise choices, wise pathways in life. So keep teaching us, Jesus. Keep teaching us, Jesus. Again, we need your grace. We need your grace. What Titus says, your grace comes to teach us to say no to unrighteousness and yes to godly living. Pour your grace upon us. In your name we pray. Can we say amen? Amen. God bless you. Bill and Stephanie will be up here. They'd love to pray with you. I'll be up here if you need prayer. God bless you, those of you that are online. Have a great day. If you go to the fair, enjoy the fair. Buy some curly fries. God bless you. Thanks for being here.